that every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow that He, Jesus Christ, is King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen? And we know that one day the world will recognize Him as the King of all kings, Lord of all lords, and we look forward to His coming. I'll tell you what, in the world, the events that we see unfolding around us, it may not be that far off that the Lord Jesus is coming. I don't know about you, but that should be our prayer today, is Lord Jesus, come and come quickly. And that should be our prayer, and we look forward to that, because there's nothing on God's calendar right now that can prevent, or we're waiting for, the Lord Jesus to come. Everything is set. The stage is set. The scene is set. Everything has been unfolded. Prophecy has been fulfilled. And so even come quickly, Lord Jesus, is our prayer that we pray even today. Let's take our Bibles today. Turn to the book of Matthew, if you will. Matthew chapter 28. In your Bible, we're going to read 6 verses of Scripture in the beginning of Matthew chapter 28 for our text today. If you're here in church and you don't have a Bible, we want to encourage you to take a Bible there in the pew. In front of you, there are some pew Bibles, and feel free to take one of those and use it. If you don't have a Bible or you need another Bible, take that home with you as a gift from our church family to you. So we encourage you to always, when you come to church, bring a Bible with you, the Word of the Living God. We're just simply going to title the message today, The Empty Tomb. You've seen a powerful picture and display on the video and that. They've talked a lot about it in the music today, The Empty Tomb, and what significance that has in the world that we live in today. And so let's read these verses right here, just 6 verses, Matthew 28, verse 1. And Matthew records this, that in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come and see the place where the Lord lay. What a great text of Scripture. When you look and you study this passage here, the Bible starts out telling us that the Sabbath day had come to an end and had just ended, and on the first day of the week had now dawned. And it was early in the morning when that small band of women made their way to the tomb that morning, and that tomb belonging to Joseph of Arimathea, and where Jesus had been buried. And so, you know, what did they find when they get there? They did not find what they were expecting to find. What they found when they got there was an angel sitting on the stone. What a surprise. That's not what they expected. That is not at all what they expected to find. These women were sad that morning. I don't know about you, but you ever go back and visit the graveside of a loved one? Maybe you lost a father, mother, aunt, uncle, brother, sister, somebody. And the first time you go back, and you just sit there and think. Or you ever sit and look at the markers, the tombstone markers that are there. So these women went to that graveside that morning with a little bit of fear and weeping and a little bit of heaviness in their heart, and not at all did they find what they thought they were going to find that morning as they came there. And so as these women came that morning, here's what they expected to find. They expected to find Jesus' body there in that tomb. That's what they expected to find. And then a stone that there was there blocking the burial site where he was buried, and they expected the Roman soldiers to be there. That's what they were expecting. But what these women found when they got there was the stone was rolled away, the tomb was empty, and Jesus was gone. And from that empty tomb today, because I love it when you look and you see the pictures of it, as they roll that stone away, I think there's clearly 3 things that come as a message out of that tomb. And that's what I want to share with you in the message today. 3 simple thoughts. When they roll that stone away and the angel sits there, and the message that comes out of that tomb is 3 simple things. I think number 1, as we see coming out of that empty tomb, is the power of Christ to conquer death. The power of Jesus Christ to conquer death. I don't care how many times you've been around it, death is ugly. Death is hard. And when it hits your family, up close and personal, it's just hard to let go. Even though you know they're saved, you know they're born again, you know they're on their way to heaven or in heaven, death is ugly, and the Bible says it stings. So we see when that tomb was opened up and that stone was rolled away, we see that here, the power of Christ to conquer death. Second thing I think we see, as this stone was rolled away and that comes out of that empty tomb, is the presence of Christ to control the world. The presence of Jesus Christ to control the world. And the third thing we see then is proof that Jesus Christ will resurrect his own. That's the assurance that you and I have and the promise that we have that because he was resurrected from that tomb, the tomb was empty, it gives you and I the promise and the authority and the power through his power to be able to be resurrected and come forth bodily, physically from the grave. So every time we go to a graveside burial and lay a loved one in the ground and bury that loved one, we have the assurance of walking away knowing that they're going to come forth victorious. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So those three simple thoughts today, and that is the power of Christ to conquer death, that death is around us all the time. But have no fear, Christ conquered death. We see then the presence of Christ to control the world that we live in. And my, it's interesting, is it not now to watch even the President of the United States and the events that are unfolding in North Korea and Russia and Syria and other parts of the world and to see all the things that are on display. We have the assurance that Jesus Christ is really in control of this world. And then we have the proof that one day we will also be resurrected. So let's think about this thought of the power of Jesus Christ to conquer death. You know, when you think about it, the world has seen many conquerors. The world has seen many tyrants. The world has seen many dictators. I'm even interested, and I'm watching, just like you are probably, with a little bit of fascination of what's going to happen in North Korea. By the way, if I were you, and all of us, we should be praying about that. We should seriously be praying about that. And they have just recently tried to fire more missiles, and I don't know what that means with the allies of the United States and around the country, but you kind of get the sense or feeling something sooner or later here, something's going to happen, and something's going to come to a head. I don't know what, and I don't know how. So we should be much in prayer. And so the world has seen many conquerors, tyrants, and dictators. Nebuchadnezzar, if you remember in the Bible, went and conquered Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also then went and conquered the Assyrian Empire. Napoleon, you remember, conquered France and most of Europe. So there's been many conquerors. The Caesars conquered Rome, and then the Roman Empire, and then Alexander the Great, we know, conquered then the known world. And of all these conquerors, we're all conquered, if you think about it, by someone else, and that is death. Every man, every woman, every person has to be accountable that one day we too will face death's door. Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, here it is, born in obscurity, reared in poverty, died in an open, shameful death, and buried in another man's tomb, but Jesus Christ was the one that conquered death and paid our sin debt for all of the human race. And so when you think about that song, I like that song, and I love the message in the songs that Ron chose for today, and it simply says that up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph or his foes. He arose the victor over a dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. What a powerful message in those songs. And if Jesus Christ had not conquered death and opened the grave, he could never conquer destiny and then open heaven up for you and I. Thank God he conquered death. And that is our hope. And Christ is, you know, I think about oftentimes when I go to the graveside and we get that phone call that so-and-so has passed away and we got to go do another funeral. Without the grave being open, without Jesus Christ conquering death, what hope do you give? What message do you say? What do you say to a family when you're sitting there and they just laid that loved one in the grave and they're saying all their goodbyes, and the only message, the only hope we have is in the resurrection? As a matter of fact, I pretty much, most probably seems like 99% of the time when we go to that graveside and you're trying to give a last little bit of hope, something to hang on to, something to cling to, I always go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 on the resurrection. Everybody needs hope, and our hope is in the resurrection. And so when you think about it here, Jesus Christ is our hope. He conquered death in the resurrection. Our hope was conceived at the cross of Jesus Christ where he died. Our hope was given birth at the tomb. Then where he arose and shouted with joy, he lives, he lives. Yes, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. You think about that. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, then our faith would be vain. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, then our sins would not be forgiven. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, we would have no hope and would indeed be of all men most miserable. If you think about it, if Christ had not been raised from the dead, death would conquer us one and all. And if Christ had not been raised from the dead, the death would be hanging today on the gates of heaven. Jesus Christ is among the dead, but he was risen from the grave and is alive today. I like how the Apostle Paul described it. Paul said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. And since by man came death, then by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming, and then he shall deliver up the kingdom unto God, and even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And he says, and again, I say rejoice. You know, if you really think about it, we are saved by faith. We, in our Christian journey, live by faith. And one of these days, my friend, you and I are going to die by faith. And when we're laying on our deathbed and taking those last breaths and trying to be as peaceful and as comfortable as we can, our faith needs to be then as strong as it ever was throughout our Christian journey. I see, you get down to death's door and I see so many people that have that assurance, have that confidence, and have that hope, and have that peace that passeth all understanding. And when death's door is knocking and you're waiting and you see the death angel, you know, last night I had the flipping on the TV channel, I saw the Ten Commandments, and there was Moses, and he was giving out the instruction, the death angels moving through the land, and it showed it kind of moving through there. And if you didn't have the blood on the lintel over the doorpost, the death of every firstborn was taken. It's kind of like we see the death angel goes up and down the land, and the only thing, the only hope, the only promise, the only chance you and I ever have is to have the blood atonement over the door and the lintel, the hope of our life, of our Christian life. The only hope that we have is the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, today, if you're here on this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday, and you don't have the blood atonement of Christ covering your sin over your door, over your house, over you personally, you have no hope. You have no chance. There is no eternal life. You've got to have the blood atonement of Christ. The blood is power in the blood. And so when you think about here, Jesus Christ, the way Paul described it, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and that last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And when that happens, hallelujah, praise the Lord, it's done, it's over, it's finished. So therefore we face death, not as an end, but think of it this way, as death nears closer, it's an entrance. I guarantee you, you know, in a church that we do some funerals around here from time to time, and I'll tell you what, if you could go and talk to any one of these people, let me ask you this. Forrest Easterwood, some of you know Forrest. If you could go and talk to Forrest right now, you think he'd want to come back here? No way. Forrest sang about heaven, sang about all the joys of that, sang about that, and yes, it's hard to go through the struggle when you have a loved one laying there fighting for their life. But oh, my friend, to cross over the other side to get there, there's no way. If you're a born-again Bible, saved, born-again Christian, regenerated by the power of God, saved by the blood atonement of Christ, there's no way you'd want to leave heaven's glory and come back here. So we face death, not groping in the dark. We face death walking in the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. You know, it's interesting because I don't know about you, but I always kind of hate sitting in a trauma center or a hospital or a hospice center and waiting for the death angel to take over and do its dirty work. I went through that this last December with my own mother. And my mother, back at the end of November, had a major stroke. Hit the whole right side of her brain, which then paralyzed the whole left side of her body. Her speech, she couldn't open her eyes. She couldn't do anything on the left side. She had medical directives and advanced a living will. She had everything laid out in paper. If I'm in that situation, don't keep me alive. Just let me go. So we're down in Cleveland, and I'm talking to the medical doctors there, neurologists and doctors, everything, after we've gone through everything, and they said, have you talked to your mom? She could still hear. She could hear. She couldn't open her eyes. She could mumble a few words. And they said to me on that Monday, have you talked to your mom about how serious this is? And I said, well, she knows. I said, yes, she knows how serious it is. He said, no. The one doctor said, no, have you talked to her and asked her, the only way she's going to make it is to have a feeding tube put in and to try to give her some nourishment to help her along. And he said, I think you need to, as a son, I think you need to talk to her today and make sure she understands what's going on. I said, all right, I will. So when my mom and I are alone, I said, Mom, I said, do you understand the seriousness of where you're at? She nodded her head and she mumbled, yes. I said, well, the doctors are telling me that the only chance you have to try to get better and prolong your life a little bit is to have a feeding tube put in. Either down your nose or throat or wherever, or through your stomach. It was like I poked her with a needle and she kind of tried to open her eyes, couldn't, and come right out. She said, Rick, no feeding tube. She said it very clear and very distinct. I backed up something. I said, do you know what that means? I do. She was ready for heaven. She was ready to open the entrance to heaven. She was 86 years old. She didn't want to stay here any longer. She couldn't, if her body couldn't function, couldn't be independent. Why would you want to hang around? And then a few days later, when we sat there and we got her in hospice, and I'm going down a hallway to get a pop or get something, and I go by room after room after room after room, and I see people that are in their 80s and 90s, and they've chosen the feeding tubes. And they sit there, and they have no quality of life. And they sit there, and I often think as I walk by that room, I wonder if they have Jesus Christ in their heart. Because when you have that hope of Jesus Christ in your heart, it gives you, and you look at death then becomes an entrance, it becomes a wide open doorway to heaven that says, I welcome death at any moment, at any time, because I'm prepared, I'm saved, I know the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ is over my life, and I am not afraid today to die to take that last breath. How about you, friend? What if today was your last day? What if you come up to you and God said today in 10 minutes, it's time for you to go? What would you do and what would you say? Let me ask you this question. What if God said to you, and you're standing right there ready to get into heaven, and God looks at you and says, why should I let you into heaven? What would you tell him? If you can't tell him anything about your relationship to Jesus Christ and the blood atonement of Christ and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, if you try to give him any other answer, guess what? The door will be closed to heaven. You'll not get in. He made it so clear, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You've got to have the blood atonement over the doorway of your life. You've got to understand that it's because of Christ and he paid the way, he paid our debt, and that's the only chance you and I have to get into heaven. And so we know that he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and so when it comes to that day, we should swing it wide open and say, heaven, I'm ready to come. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Live every day, and I think you've got to live life to the fullest. But be prepared if it is your last day. So when you think about it here, you know, yea, the Bible goes on to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All because of Jesus Christ. The unconquerable Son of God exercised his power to conquer death. Hallelujah. He lives forever. Think about this second thought today, and that is the presence of Jesus Christ to control this world. You know, I don't know about you and where you're at in your life, but I don't fear for my own life. I think about a lot, if the Lord tarries his coming a little bit longer, those of us in the room doesn't have any hair, all the gray heads, we're going to be in heaven. You know what I think about? Leaving these grandchildren behind. And what kind of world gets left behind to them? What's our society and what's our world going to be like? And so that's what I think about. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ is a contemporary with Abraham and Moses and the prophets and Peter and James and John. And so don't look only at Jesus Christ coming out of the grave 2,000 plus years ago. Embrace him as the one who lives today. And he is very much alive today. And so every day on your Christian journey should be embracing the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a living Savior. He's a living God. He's a very much alive and well. And we should have a relationship with him day by day by day by day. And that way when you get to heaven, my friend, there are no surprises. It's just you'll see him in person. And when you think about it here, you know, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of death and hell. Think about that. Jesus said, I have the keys of death and hell. And one of these days, my friend, guess who's going to lock up in hell? Hell was made for Satan and for all of his fallen angels and for the false prophet and the false beast, and he'll lock them up and put them in. And guess who else the Bible says goes in there? Well, let me show it to you. You want to see who else is going to be there? Go over to Revelation chapter 21. And remember Jesus saying that he has the keys to the pits of hell, and we find that in here in Revelation 21 and verse 8, it says, well, verse 7, but he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But in hell, notice the fearful, here it is now, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and the liars, and all, shall all have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Notice that one word in that verse 8, the unbelieving. The unbelieving. Well, who's the unbelieving? All those that refuse to believe and trust in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. The unbelieving, they will not believe in God and a creator God. They will not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. The unbelieving will also be in a place of hell that was designed and created for Satan himself. Martin Luther said that if Christ were not alive, then he would not want to live for 1 hour. If Christ were not alive, I would not want to live for 1 hour. In Christ we live and move and have our being. He is the Lord of our life. He is the God, not of the dead. He is the God of the living. He is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And we see Jesus Christ is alive every time we see someone coming to him to be born again. I don't know about you, but I get excited to watch. You want to have a thrill of your lifetime. It's not riding a roller coaster at Cedar Point. It's not jumping out of an airplane at 10,000 feet. Whatever your thrill in life is, you want a thrill. Lead somebody to Jesus Christ. Put your hand in theirs and look in the white of their eyes as they repent of their sin and come to Jesus Christ. That's a thrill, my friend. If I were you and you've never had that chance yet, I'd put it on your bucket list and move it to number one. Just say, Lord, before I die, I want to make sure I can win one person to Jesus Christ and lead them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Should be a prayer of every one of us to lead someone else to the Savior, to the Christ that is alive and well. And so we see Jesus Christ is alive every time we see somebody else coming to him as Savior. Look into those eyes of our missionaries as they come through, and we can see that Jesus Christ is very much alive and well. And what a power to control, you think about it, the world today. Jesus Christ is alive to be able to control the world that we live in. The empty tomb declares that he has that power. Here's the third and final thought this morning, and that simply is the proof that Jesus Christ will resurrect his own. The Bible talks about the believing world and the non-believing world. You say, well, it's got to be more difficult than that. There's got to be more to go with that. Jesus just simply said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do you really believe? If you do not really believe, then you're a non-believer, an unbeliever, and you've not yet chosen to trust in Christ. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 14 says, and God hath both raised up the Lord, and who also raised us up by his own power, And so pay attention to that promise in the Bible. The same God that raised up Jesus Christ from the tomb shall also raise up you and I out of the grave. This little life that we live here on earth, think about that. And that really is true. This little life that we live here on earth is not the final chapter of our destiny. We are made in the image of the Almighty. We are made to live, and we are made to live forever and forever. Therefore, the empty tomb becomes for us a seal and a token of our resurrection. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." That's something we ought to broadcast from the housetop. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives in my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. It's no dream. It's not a pipe dream. It's real. It's not a wild imagination. It's real. And this is not being a fanatical, foolish fantasy or whatever. It's real. Jesus Christ is real. Let me show you this verse and we'll close the service today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You got to spend some time every Easter around 1 Corinthians 15. Talks about the resurrection. It tells you exactly how it's going to be in the resurrection. It doesn't leave you to chance. It doesn't leave it for you to try to figure it out on your own. It tells you how the resurrection is going to be. 1 Corinthians 15, 12. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Every generation, there always have some people who say there's no resurrection. It goes on in verse 13. "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Your faith is also vain. And yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. And then they also which are fallen asleep," or in other words, have died and gone on, "in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men then most miserable." He goes on then in the next few verses to tell us there about the order of the resurrection, that Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits, and since by man came death, and by man also comes the resurrection. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." What's interesting, you go down through there, skip on down to verse 35, it talks about the method of the resurrection. Some men will say, it's interesting, isn't it? Look at the logic of this in verse 35. Some men will say, "Well then, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, if may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth the body as it pleased him, and to every seed of his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. Verse 41, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead." Notice this now. It is sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is sown a spiritual body. Think about this. I have children and people ask all the time, say, "When you get to heaven, well, I recognize my loved one." And the answer to that is, yes, you will. But we will not have a physical flesh and blood body in the resurrection. It'll be a spiritual body. There's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. And so it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So you have two different kinds of bodies. So in the resurrection, you're going to be sown a natural body here on earth. You're going to be raised a spiritual body. There will be no flesh and blood in heaven. Along with that, there'll be no disease, no heart attacks, no cancer centers, no hospitals, no need for doctors. You have the great physician. A lot of things are going to change in heaven. You have a spiritual body. So when it talks about here, it goes on, look in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery," and it really is a mystery. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That body you're sitting in right now is going to be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. See, heaven is perfect. No sin, nothing wrong with whatever's there. Everything is perfect. So these mortal bodies we have have got to be changed. And verse 54, so when this corruptible shall put on incorruption and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And the sting of death is sin. Strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what I said a moment ago? Jesus Christ has the keys to death and hell. He conquered death in the tomb, and he also has the keys of hell. You have a choice today, the believing world or the unbelieving world, heaven or hell. And it all depends on what you do with this person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible simply teaches you and I, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And he goes on to say, wherefore, notice in First Thessalonians 4, verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Greatest comfort we can give is the power of the resurrection. That he conquered death, he conquered the grave. Jesus holds the keys to that. The entrance, the opportunity to get there, comes through belief. Do you believe? Do you trust? Do you have confidence in Jesus Christ today? To do for you that which you cannot do for yourself. To save you and give you eternal life. Oh, my friend, the story of Easter, the resurrection, it's a powerful, powerful message. And when you think about what Jesus did on the cross of Jesus Christ, to realize that Christ has the power to conquer death, and he did so on that resurrection day. To realize that we don't have you don't have to worry about North Korea and Russia and Syria and all that stuff. I mean, the politicians will, you know, it'll be a ride for sure, whatever's going to happen. But I can tell you this, whatever does happen, it's not a surprise to God. It's not a surprise to what the plan of God is. And our sovereign God has a plan, and he's unfolding it by the master plan of the universe. And I guarantee you, it's right on time. So be ready. Are you ready? Who are you trusting in? Are you trusting in those politicians in the White House? Doesn't make any difference who you put there. Democrat, Republican, Independent, they're all going to have their own philosophies, their own plan, their own ideas and strategies of how to solve the world's problems, do all this and that. The one you and I need to put our faith and promise and hope and confidence in is Jesus Christ and the God of the universe that has the keys to the master plan and the keys to death and hell. That's who my confidence is in. Yeah, we listen to the heartbeat of what goes on in Washington. Yes, we're watching what's going on in North Korea right now. I wouldn't be too worried about that because God's got it all in control. That's who we need to have confidence in. The empty tomb, do you believe or have you not yet believed? My friend, today the greatest thing you could ever do on this Easter Resurrection Sunday is say, today I want to believe and I want to trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, while you're sitting right there, I want to make this real simple today. If you're here and you're a non-believer, you don't believe, you have not yet believed, I want to just say a simple prayer with you that will help you to believe and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then during the invitation today, I'm going to ask you, if you're serious about your commitment, to meet me down here at the front and let me know, today, Pastor, I prayed that prayer, and I went from unbelieving, a non-believing world, to a believing world today based on my faith in Jesus Christ. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, my friend, if you're here and you're not saved, you have not yet believed, just pray this simple prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, just pray it quietly in your heart right where you sit. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sin, and I accept the blood of Jesus as payment for my sin debt today. And I ask you to be saved. I repent of my sin and turn to Christ for eternal life. In Jesus' name.